Jesus. Are you awake this morning? Amen. Praise God. Hey, I want to remind you guys that the disciples are having a Christian motorcycle run here at our church in August, and Jeff asked if we would bring them some breakfast up, and we may have as many as, what, 200?
You never know. We don't know. This is our first time. We may have, like I said, we may have 20 bikes. We may have 200 bikes. Ooh. I keep telling everybody, like, we're going to have a bunch of large, hungry bikers here, so...
All right, so we're going to bring breakfast up, and that's August 13th, and it's at 9 o'clock, so we want to be here by 8:30, right, Jeff? Have some breakfast here by 8:30? All right, so you ladies and guys want to cook up some great breakfast, stop by, pick something up, whatever, bring it to them, amen, and I know they will appreciate that, and they will enjoy it, and we're glad to have them. We're going to have some stay over, I'm sure, for Sunday, and we'll just have a great time in the Lord with them. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Stand this morning and turn in your Bibles, if you will, to John chapter 14, verse 8. I have to speak about the fatherhood of God today because it's Father's Day, and I'm glad to be a father, glad to be a dad, man. It is awesome. Praise God. And he loves us today. Philip said to him, Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and it's going to be sufficient for us. Show us the Father, okay? Reveal the Father to us. That was his desire. That's what Philip said. Hold up your Bible this morning. Let's say it like we mean it today. Say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess my mind is clear. My heart is open to receive God's word. And I will never be the same. Never, never the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to somebody and say, aren't you glad you got a daddy today? Aren't you glad you got a daddy? Praise God. I'm so thankful for that. Amen. My father, earthly father, has gone on to be with the Lord many years ago when I was a senior in high school. But at that same time, I found my earthly father, or my heavenly father. Amen. And praise God. I've been so blessed. And the revelation of grace and Jesus changed everything about the concept of God. The revelation of grace and Jesus changed everything about the concept of God. Before Jesus, God was seen in the light and the view of the old covenant, and he was like always upset, always angry. He was a harsh God, a judgmental God, a God of smoke and fire. Hello? And that's the way Israel saw him, and they just saw him in this concept. It was never God's thought from the beginning to have that concept. God always wanted to have a relationship with man. Y'all realize that? But the giving of the law changed that relationship. When the law came along, it was like, whoa. And Israel asked for it. They said, hey, we can live up to this. So God said, well, if you think you can, go ahead. Here it is. And that's what? They couldn't do it. So God desired to have a relationship with man, but man wanted rules and regulations and prided himself in trying to keep them. And so the revelation of grace came with Jesus, and then that changed everything about the concept of God. You know, God's not mad at you this morning. He's madly in love with you. He loves you today because of Jesus, because of what Christ has done. He loves you today. Amen. And now we see God in a new light, a loving God, a forgiving God. Hello, church. A God who cares about us today. A God who protects us today. A God who provides for us today. All because of Jesus. And look what Jesus said. Drop down to the next verse. Look what he said, verse 9. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and yet you've not known me? Philip, he who has seen me has seen what? The Father. So can you say, how can you say, show us the Father? He said, if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. Amen. He is the Father personified to us. Praise God. Everything that he's done, everything that he's done for us. Amen. We're no longer this morning orphans. We're not outcast. We're sons and daughters of the Most High. Look at John 14 and 8. You know, being an orphan, I believe it's a terrible thing. You don't have a father. You don't have a mother. You're without direction in life. Sometimes you're an outcast. You're on your own. But God says, no, you're not an orphan any longer. Look at John 14:8. Great verse. John 14:8. Fellow says, show us the Father. And he said, it is sufficient for us. And so he shows us the Father. Turn over to John 16:7-15. We're going to look at that. Amen. God says, I want to show you something. I want to give you something. Praise God for your life. I want you to know that you're never an orphan any longer, that you've been adopted into the family. John 16:7-15. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage, Jesus said, that I do what? Go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. We've dealt with this scripture a lot because he's talking about the sin, and the sin is simply the sin of unbelief. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Amen? But I wanted to give you this scripture going down to where I want to go this morning. So what does he do? He convicts the sin of the world of the sin of unbelief. Next verse. Of righteousness because of God my Father, and you see me no more. The Holy Spirit's job is to convict us of righteousness, not of sin, but of righteousness. Amen. And of judgment, because the ruler of this world is what? Satan has been judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them all right now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into what? All truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me. He will take of what is mine and what? And declare it or share it with you. Now listen to this verse. Next verse. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. God says, I want to put you on the intimate side and know me so intimately that what I have, I want to share with you. The same revelation that I have, I want to share with you. And the reason that he doesn't leave us alone is because he sent the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit within us. We've been adopted into the family by the gift of the Holy Spirit within all believers. Wow. So you're not an orphan any longer. You're in the family of God because of Jesus and because of the gift of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Look at Romans 8:14-19. Romans 8:14-19. I think you're going to love this. For as many are as led by the Spirit of God, these are what? We are the sons of God. And he said the Spirit's going to lead and guide us into all truth. Amen. The truth of God's grace and his love for us. And he says, if you're being led by the Spirit, then you are what? A son of God. Look at the next verse. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. That's exactly where the old covenant people lived under. They lived under the spirit of bondage and fear. There's many people trying to live the new covenant life, but yet still are living under a old covenant concept of God and living in bondage and fear. God does not want you there. Turn to somebody and say, God didn't want you there. God didn't want you living under bondage and fear any longer. God wants you set free and living under his truth and love for you. Amen. The law brings fear. The law brings torment. Grace brings life and freedom. Praise God, man. Amen. But you receive the spirit of what? Not of an orphan, but of what? Adoption. You've been adopted in. Now, I saw a commercial the other day where they had these kids on there, and they were orphans, and they're saying, I would love for somebody to adopt me. I thought, wow, I'd like to adopt them all. Does anybody ever have that heart? I'd like to get them all. Yeah, I mean, I want to help these kids out. And God says, hey, you know what? You're not an orphan any longer. You've been adopted into the family. Praise God, man. I am so blessed by that. By which we cry what? Now, you know, my girls, I don't think I ever heard them say father. Oh, father. It was always dad or daddy. When they wanted something, it was daddy. Right? It was daddy. You know, they never came to me and said, oh, father. I'd like to have this. But they'd crawl up my lap and say, oh, daddy. And when they said that daddy thing, there's something about that daddy thing, that daddy word, you know? And that's exactly what God says we are to him. We are his children. We can say daddy to him. And that's what that is. It's saying Abba Father, daddy Father. He is a good daddy, guys. Praise God. He's a real good daddy. We cry out, Abba Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are what? We know we are the children of God by the Spirit of God. It bears witness with our spirit that we are redeemed, forgiven, loved by God. Amen. We are his children, and we are his adopted sons and daughters. Going down, next verse. And if children, then what are we? Heirs. Heirs. We are heirs to everything Jesus has provided for us. Healing. Hello? God's provided healing for us. Healing. Financial blessing. Amen. Prosperity in all areas of our life. God has provided that for us. Freedom from fear. Freedom from worry. Freedom from stress. You're too blessed to be stressed, church. Amen. All these things. And we're heirs, and heirs of God in what? Joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of the present times are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is revealed in us. Hallelujah. Man, you got glory being revealed in you right now. Verse 19, the glory of Jesus. Verse 19. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly awaits the revealing of the sons of God. All of creation is just waiting to find out for you to know who you are. Who are you? You are a son, a child of God. Praise God. Adopted in the family. Blood bought, signed, sealed, delivered. You are God's children. Galatians 4. Galatians was a book that Paul wrote because they were wanting to practice the law and grace at the same time. And that's what this church was wanting to do. These believers were wanting to do. And so many places want to do the same thing because it's so law is so performance-based and grace is so rest-based. And people love performance. Hello? And grace is just totally rest, but people love performance. And if they're not doing anything, they feel like they're not accomplishing anything. But God says the greatest thing you can do is just rest in me because I've accomplished everything. Oh, come on, somebody. That's a good word. So here Paul's writing the Galatians. Look what he says. Galatians 4:4. Galatians 4:4. Amen. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born where? Under the law. He was born under the law so that he could fulfill the law because we couldn't. That's the gift that God gave us. We couldn't, so Jesus did. Amen. He was born under the law and fulfilled the law completely. Why did he do this? To redeem those who were what? Under the law. All of us were under the law, and Christ came to fulfill that, to redeem us who were under that law, right? That we might receive what? The adoption as sons. We are no longer outside the family. We've been adopted into the family as sons. Oh, praise God, man. Hallelujah. Out from the law, into grace, into freedom. Not out of performance now, but into rest as a son and inheriting everything that God has provided for us. Wow. Man. Anybody like an inheritance? I never had I may have had a rich uncle, but he never left me anything. So, but you know why I hear people say, well, I got a rich uncle. He's going to leave me this or that. Man, they're looking forward to that inheritance. Folks, you don't have to look forward to it because you have to wait till somebody dies in order to receive the inheritance. Well, we already had someone that has died. His name is Jesus. And so, therefore, we receive everything that he's provided for us now. Amen. We don't have to wait It's now. Praise God. That's why the Bible says now faith is. It's not out tomorrow. It's not in yesterday. It's now. Praise God. Amen. That we might receive. And because you are sons, God sent forth his Spirit. There it is again. God sent forth the Holy Spirit into our hearts and into our lives and empowered us. And he said he sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying what? Daddy. Oh, Daddy. Amen. Daddy. Thank you, Daddy. Praise God. Thank you for your goodness, Daddy. Lord, you're so awesome. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but what? Man, you're no longer a slave. You're no longer a servant to the law. You're now an inheritor of all of God's goodness to you. You know, when I go on to be with the Lord, when I'm 120, I hope to leave my daughter something. Hello? Because the Bible says a good man leaves what? A good what? For your kids' kids, right? So even my grandchildren, that's what the Bible says. So, but you know what? I do want them to enjoy some of the things right now. And we've done that through life, and I'm thankful for that. Only thing that I do regret, I didn't take much time as I'd like to have been and took them on more vacations. Only thing I regret, you know? So we're going to have to make up for that now. So let's go on a vacation, kids. Amen. Praise God. So therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then what? An heir. Guys, do you see what Jesus has done for us here? I mean, he has made us not only a son, but an heir, and we receive the inheritance now because he's already gone. He's already died for us. Still alive, but died. The resurrection was the assurance of the inheritance that we have, that nobody can come and rip it off. Praise God, man. Awesome stuff. Go on down, next verse. But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are gods. Huh. Wow. Next verse. But now, after you have known God, or rather are known by God, I love that, how it is that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage. They are wanting to go back under the law and start serving the law again. They wanted to be performance-based. Paul said, man, and look at this. Look at this next verse. Look at this. Go on. You observe days, months, seasons, years. It's what the law does to you. I'm afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain. He says, like, wow, I think, you know, I'm afraid that I've just labored in vain teaching this grace to you because you have this desire to go back. Guys, turn to somebody and say, there's no going back. Amen. There's no going back. Amen. Jesus is perfect in his forgiveness. Do you realize that? Look at Luke chapter 15 this morning. Luke chapter 15, let's go to verse 11. Some of you know this story well, but it's one of my favorite ones in the Bible. Luke 15, 11. Then he said, a certain man had what? Two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. So he divided them his livelihood. Right there shows God's nature of just giving to us. We ask and we give, he gives. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in what? Want. Here's this young man. Went to his dad and said, I want my inheritance. I want it now. Dad said, no problem. I give it to you. That's his love, man. And he took what he did, and he went to a far country. Now, back in the Old Testament concept, a far country was you were getting away from God, because they figured if you got outside of Israel, you're in a far country, and God couldn't see you then. Amen. So he did that, and he spent all that he had on riotous living, the Bible says. And then what happened? A famine rose up in the land, and he began to be in what? In want. Look at this. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. Now, there's nothing worse than a Jewish boy feeding pigs because they were unkosher. They had nothing to do. They would not eat a pig. They were unkosher. But here he was, lost everything he had, out as a servant feeding swine. That's exactly what the law will do to you. And that's exactly what happens in our lives when we're without understanding of of God's goodness and grace. Look on down to the next verse. He would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, but no one gave him anything. Isn't that what the world does to us at times as well? But when we have came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? He said, even the servants in my daddy's house have bread enough to spare, and here I am starving. He came to himself. Turn to somebody and say, it's time we just have a clear understanding in our mind. Right? God, give us a clear understanding of your love for us. He said, I'll arise, go to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. And I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And I love this. And he arose and he came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father what? His father saw him. You know what that tells me? His father was always looking for him. Always longing for him. Always ready to receive him back into his heart, into his life. While he was still a great way off, his father saw him and he had compassion on him and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Wow, how awesome is that reunion? Amen. All of us were this prodigal kid, right? Amen. And this is what God did for us. Next verse. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight and no longer to be worthy to call your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe. The best robe. And put it on him. God says, hey, bring out the best. You know what? He didn't say anything like, you know, son, that's too bad. You got to spend at least 20 days out here working in the field before you come back into my house. Did he say that? No, that's not our God. Immediately he went to a servant. Notice he didn't go to anyone else but to one of his servants and said, bring forth the best what? Robe. That robe is our robe of righteousness. He said, bring forth the robe of righteousness. Put it on him. Praise God, church. I'm telling you, God's got you covered. Turn to somebody and say, God's got you covered. Put it on him and put a ring on his hand. The ring was the emblem of the family. He says, put the ring on his hand. It showed that he gave him back his authority as well. Then he also said, put shoes on his feet because servants didn't wear any shoes, but a son wore shoes for protection and stability. He said, put the shoes on his feet, man. Amen. And bring the fatted calf here, kill it, and let us eat and be what? Man, bring the sacrifice out. Let's eat. Let's be merry. Let's be happy. Why? What did he say? Next verse. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they begin to be merry and rejoice. And everybody talks about the prodigal, but nobody talks about the other son. Look at the other son's attitude. Look at this. Now this older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked, what are these things? What means by these things? And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf and threw a party. But he was angry and would not even go in. Folks, that's what religion does to you. That is the spirit of the law and the spirit of religion. Wow, he was angry and wouldn't even go in. Therefore, the father came out. Isn't God always good? You know, when we don't want to go in, Jesus always comes out to us. Praise God. He's always wanting to receive us, always wanting to restore. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him, pleaded with him, pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I've been noticed. Serving. Was he a servant or was he a son? He had a total wrong perspective, didn't he? These many years I've been serving. Man, I've been working like a dog here, Dad. That's what religion does to you, man. Gives you a bad attitude. You know, I've never transgressed your commandments at any time. Never, Dad. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. I love this, man. Oh, man. And look what he said, but as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have has always been yours. Wow. Man, that is amazing. Religion will put you on the point of offense all the time. Amen. Stay within grace. Stay within the forgiveness of God's grace and God's heart and God's love for you. Don't get caught up into religion and to all the things that goes on with that. Next verse, 42. It was right that we should make merry. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is now what? Now found. He is perfect. God is perfect. Perfect in his forgiveness for us. He's perfect in his discipline. How many love the word discipline? You know, we get the word disciple from the word discipline, but God is a good God of discipline. Hello? Look at Hebrews 12:5-9. Look at this. Hebrews 12:5-9. And have you forgotten, I believe Paul wrote this, the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. Can you put that up in the New Living Translation maybe, or one of those? I want to show you how this reads here. And have you forgotten the encouraging words? The encouraging words. You know what? When God disciplines us, it's not words of threat. Hello? It's not words that will come against us to embitter us. They're always encouraging words. Encouraging words. Amen. God wants to give you an encouraging word in your life. And that's through that encouraging word that we change and transform. Amen? An encouraging word. And have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children? He said, my child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline and don't give up when he corrects you. Don't make light and don't give up. And look at the next verse. For the Lord disciplines those he what? Those he what? Those he loves. God disciplines. How many's ever been disciplined by a loving God besides pastor here? Amen. He disciplines those. Turn to somebody and say, he loves me. When you discipline a child, do you do it for their bad or for their good? Let me ask you this. How many have ever been around children that were not disciplined? Come on, how many's ever been around? I was sitting at the dealership the other day and a family came in and they had three children and they were oblivious to those kids once they hit the door. Oblivious. The kids were opening car doors, running in and out of car doors. I thought, they're going to get hurt. That's my first thought. They're going to get hurt. And sure enough, a few minutes later, I heard, exactly what I was thinking about. The child got hurt. Amen. Now, you know, when my kids were coming up, you know, I disciplined them once or twice because that's all they needed. They were pretty perfect, you know. And so can I tell you, yeah, she was perfect, you know. So still is, praise God. And my daughter Crystal and Elise, we had to work on it a little bit. She's great now, amen. So she's perfect now. And but God loves us. And when he does discipline it, it's always to transform us, and it's always for the good. It's never for the bad, church. Never for the bad. Amen. You don't receive that. If you're feeling condemnation and guilt, it is not from God. Amen. He always disciplines us out of love. And that's a good example for us as fathers here and mothers here. We always discipline our children for the good, right? And we never discipline our children out of anger. If you're angry, sit down and cool off for 20 minutes before you talk to them. Amen? But then you need to talk to them, and you need to talk to them in love and correct them gently and show them why it is for the good. Hello? Before you knock their head off. No, don't do that. Don't do that. No, man. Never hit your child with your fist. Anything like that. Are you hearing me? Somebody say amen. But we do correct our children. Amen. I'm thankful we've got some good behaved kids around here because parents are learning. And you know what? Man, we're learning to grow in grace with our kids. We're learning to grow in grace and love towards them. And we're learning how to discipline them and how to give them proper correction. I wish I would have known more today than back then. But I did. Did I do all right job, Kay? Not too bad, right? So you made it. So amen. Praise God. For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child. Wow. As you endure the divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Whoever heard of a child who is never, never disciplined by his father? You know, that says it's the father's job to do a lot of the discipline. Oh, come on, ladies. Say amen. It's the father's job to do a lot of the discipline. A lot of times, dads just leave it over to mom. Mom, you take care of them. No, guys, it's our job to do that. And it's not pleasant. Amen. I remember when I was a kid, the words I feared the most is just wait till your dad's home. Anybody ever hear that before? Just wait till your dad's home. Oh, my gosh. You know, man, I hear my dad pulling in the driveway, and I'm thinking, I'm in trouble. And I was, because my dad, he disciplined me. I want to tell you that. So it wasn't with a fist, but it was with a belt. And I remember that very vividly. Anybody else get one of those or two? You didn't turn out too bad. In fact, you turned out pretty good, right? So, wow. He is never disciplined by his father. Next verse. If God doesn't discipline you as he does all of his children, it means that you are illegitimate and are not really his children at all. So God does that to us. You know what? And it's okay, and he does it in a loving way. Man, God's corrected me many times in my life. I'm still open for correction. Thank you, Lord. I receive that. Amen. Because you know what? I'm not perfect in my soul yet, and I'm not perfect in my flesh, but I am in my spirit. And he works on my soul rim. He'll work on you if you'll let him, guys. Praise God. Love it. Amen. He is perfect in his provision. Look at Matthew 7, 7 through 11. We're going to close with this today. Matthew 7, 7 through 11. Keep on what? Asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking at the door and it will be open to you. In other words, just keeping that faith. Amen. For everyone who asks, what? Receives. He says, if you ask, receive. I remember my kids coming to me and they would wear me out sometimes, you know, about different things. No, no, no. And finally, you know what I'd say? Yes. Well, that's not like God is anymore. It's kind of an old covenant concept of God, because God gives us all things freely to enjoy. Amen? Right? Y'all got that? Everyone who seeks, find, and everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Look at this. You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, will you give them what? Hey, Dad, I want some peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Well, here's a stone. Won't you chew on that a while? You gonna do that? No. Look at this next verse. Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Absolutely not. No way. I would not give them a snake. You know, it's kind of funny. In our society today, we've elevated animals so high. And you know what? I'm thankful for animals. I really am. But I saw a lady the other day, I think it was on Facebook, somebody had taken this picture. She was feeding and petting a wild wolf. And people were commenting, oh, that's so awesome. And that's, isn't that wonderful? And this wolf was huge. And I wanted to post on there, isn't that stupid? That's what I wanted to say. Isn't she dumb? You know, and I thought about the little child, how horrible it was down at Disney this past week, that it was there at the lagoon, and, you know, the alligator came up and snatched him up. And, you know, if you live in Florida and you know anything about that, but what happened is we've made these wild animals almost like pets. And I'm thinking, wow, what's wrong with people, man? You know, and down there, dogs would be snatched all the time. If you have a dog in Florida, you never let him go close to the water, because alligators love dogs, and they come up, and that's what they do, and they hunt and all these things. And so, but I'm thinking, you know what? I am not going to pet a wolf. I'm not going to pet a gator. And I'm not going to pick up a snake unless God tells me to. Hello? And if he did, you know it was God. I'm going to tell you that right now. Amen. And so, you know, I do not like snakes at all. But, you know, I'm not going to, and God's saying this, hey, I'm not going to give you these things. I'm not going to put these things on you. He says, so if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, what? How much more How much more? How much more? God is a much more God. How much more will your Heavenly Father give to those who what? Give what? What kind of gifts? Good gifts. Everybody say, how many like good gifts? Good gifts. My Cubs tie, man. It's good. I can't wait to wear this over in Missouri. Yeah, I was just over there. I can't wait to go into a dealership there and pull out my Cubs tie. Yeah, Cardinals, yeah, right? So, all right. So if your sinful people know how to give, how much more? Guys, that's how God, our God is. He's always giving. He's always good. He's always giving to us. Amen. You just start looking for the good things that God's done for you. Amen. Say, Lord, I thank you for your provision. I thank you for your goodness. You know, I thank you for the house that I have. I thank you for the car that I drive. Lord, I thank you for my family most of all. God, thank you for all these good things that you provide for me on a daily basis. Amen. I mean, good stuff. Wake up in the morning. Man, I woke up this morning. Lord, thank you. I've got, you know, this day ahead of me. I am so blessed. I'm so thankful. Amen. Because you're a good, good Father. Amen. Perfect in all your ways. Praise God. So good to me. Amen. And start putting your mind on that. Lord, you are so good to me. Stand this morning. Praise God. Amen. He is so good to us, church. He's not a bad God, not an evil God. He is nothing but a good God. Wow. You know, the tragedy this past week in Orlando with the killing and the terrorist act of violence. Muslims, let me say something. God loves Muslims. God loves those people. Loves them. Unfortunately, it is a political movement and not really a religious movement. When you get down to the heart of it, that's what the Muslim culture is. But God, and you talk about being under law. They are under law. You better pray 7 times a day towards Mecca or you're not a good Muslim. Wow. All these laws they have out there. You know, in countries today, the law of Muslims would stone homosexuals. Kill them. Hang them. You know, God's a good, good Father. If you're watching today, and we have Muslims that have turned on, Arabics have turned on. If you're watching today, I want to tell you, Jesus loves you today. You can come out of that religion and be in a lifestyle of God's grace and love for you. Amen. He loves you today. God loves all people. That's the God we serve. That's who we serve today. He loves Muslims. He loves homosexuals. He loves you today. God has got grace for you. Amen. Amen. He loves all people, black, white, yellow, purple, green. He is a good, good God today. Lift your hands up to him this morning. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for being our Abba, Father. You're our Daddy. Thank you, Lord, that sin has been eradicated because of your grace and your great love towards us. Thank you for your forgiveness, Lord, and your mercy that's renewed every morning. Thank you for your provisions to my life, Lord, for health, God, for wisdom, for grace, for each day. Thank you, Lord, that you're so good to all of us today. God, there is no shadow or variable of turning with you. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father. And Lord, we receive those today. You know, if you need healing today, receive that gift into your life. Already provided for, amen? Already for you this morning. Receive it. If you need a financial gift today, receive it. Already done for you, already provided. If you need a job today, already provided for you. Thank you, Lord, for those gifts. Hallelujah. We love you today, God. We thank you for that. God, you're good. Thank you for our families today. Thank you for these dads here this morning, Lord. And may they just grow their children in your grace and in your love. Lord, we thank you for that today. Hallelujah. You're so good to us. Praise your name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Turn to 5 people this morning and say, you know what? I have a good, good Father today. His name is Jesus. Amen. Love you guys. Invite somebody with you Sunday. Praise God. It's going to be an awesome time. Amen.